Welcome to another episode of Introductory Wine Classes for Novices. Welcome back. So today, again, we've got Lisa and Helen here to help us with sort of this is always a question, right? Wine is great on its own, but wine can be spectacular and sublime with food. And so in the previous podcast, we were talking about Italy, and Lisa was talking about how it pairs with food and how it's important to sort of understand how the wine sort of grows with the foods in the area. But let me ask you two. We got Lisa and Helen back with us again. Yay, we've got them. That's great. And I guess the question I have is, when you're pairing food, you can do the certainly regional thing, but sometimes that's tough to figure out. Should you go with a big wine to match a big food, or should you have a mild wine with a big spicy dish and a big wine with a mild dish? What do you think your advice is if you're sort of pairing food just sort of on a more macro basis?
I think there's a lot of merit in doing weight with weight. So I think if you are doing like a big, you know, dish, like maybe you've made some beef ribs, I think choosing something, a big red wine that's sort of luscious and approachable with lots of fruit and perhaps some spice to match the appropriate, you know, similar characteristics in the food.
What would be the examples of that?
So think of like a lovely Napa Cab that will have lots of blackcurrant fruit, perhaps a little bit of earth. It'll have some nice acidity that'll help cut through the fat in the ribs of the beef. It'll help sort of complement the palate in that way. What else? A nice Australian Shiraz would be really great because you get the spiciness from that grape variety, and often ribs will have some sort of mixture of herbs and spices in it, so that could be really great. I think you could go to France and you could go to the Rhone area, either Northern Rhone in Creuse Hermitage or Southern Rhone in Châteauneuf-du-Pape. And I think that would be the great variety there, Syrah. And that also has peppery notes to it, which often, you know, will, and they tend to be big, expressive wines. So with weight, you're looking for like a medium plus bodied wine. So great varieties that are going to deliver that will be things like Cabernet Sauvignon, Syrah, Merlot, what else? Sagrantino, we heard about before. Plenty of big red grape varieties.
So Lisa, what if you were having like a pasta puttanesca, right? A nice spicy spaghetti type dish. Would you have Italian wine? I would imagine you want to have Italian to match Italian, as Helen said. Maybe you want kind and kind. What would you have with pasta puttanesca?
For me, I feel it's also based on your budget, because you can get some really old international wines that would be amazing that are lighter in texture, not to confuse the matters. But I am a big fan of Sangiovese. I love Sangiovese grape when the wine is made well, because it has this beautiful just nuances and texture that I think could stand up to like short ribs. Right. With puttanesca, I think that I would go, I might actually go either Sangiovese, or I would go Sardinian, remind me, the red grape.
Montepulciano?
No.
Cannonau.
Yeah. I would go like Cannonau. I would go like a
but
little.
But these are reds.
These are reds. Okay. Like a white wine that would hold up to a red sauce puttanesca, I think is a little more.
Would you do that? I mean, realistically, you talked about a Sangiovese, right? Which we're talking about Chianti would be the classic. And if you have a nice red pasta dish, you're going to have the Chianti. I'm such a fan of Chianti. I think Chianti just goes with so much. But so that's a good example. I wouldn't imagine you'd do white
wine. I would do white with a cream sauce. I would do white with a fish sauce. With pasta.
Why? What's going on? Why do we do white with sort of lighter dishes and we do red with big beefy dishes? Why do we do that? What is it in the palate? What is it?
I think it's the fat, like Helen was talking about. You have to really pair up something that's a little bit more concentrated and richer in texture to partner up with fat or braising or barbecuing.
Yeah, I think, like, for example, with the whole idea of fish and white wine, is that, you know, fish typically has a fairly delicate flavor and tends to be prepared in a fairly delicate way often, whereas beef and lamb, etc., tends to pork, you know, tends to be prepared in richer preparations, you know, heavier sauces, more garlic, etc. So the delicacy of Chardonnay, the delicacy of Pinot Grigio, of Roussanne, Marsanne, all these great varieties will pair so much better with a simpler preparation with a simple flavoured fish. You know, something like Petrale Sole with a white wine butter sauce would be lovely with any of those white grape varieties. Because basically you're talking about matching flavour and flavour. You don't want one to dominate the other. You don't want the wine to dominate. You don't want the food to dominate. You want it to be a perfect harmony.
So I got two more questions, though, right? So we got to cover these pretty quick. So you have dessert wines, right? So you have, you know, a variety of different dessert wines out there. For instance, Sauternes, California dessert wines. You've got...
Pasito.
Oh, yeah. You've got...
Van Santo.
You've also got... Then you move into...
Ice wine.
You got Madeiras. Mm-hmm. You've got ports. So what is it your goal when you're drinking kind of a sweeter type wine or after dinner drink? I don't know if Madeira and... port would be considered wine, are they?
Fortified wine.
So how are you? You're just pairing those up with chocolate? Or, I mean, how would you do that? Or I guess you can have them on their own also, right?
Yes. Yeah, I mean, broad strokes, if you're talking about fortified wines like Madeira and, say, a tawny port, they've been aged in an oxidative manner in a barrel. So they're brown, tawny in colour. And so you're going to, they have kind of nice characteristics of raisins and spice, and they've got a caramel type characteristic. So, you know, maybe like a pie or something that's been cooked in the oven would be an appropriate dessert to go with those, or maybe chocolate or cake even. Whereas if you're talking about an ice wine, which is basically grapes that have been harvested frozen on the vine up in Canada or Germany.
Puff pastry.
Yeah, and so when they are processed and turned into wine, they take on this lovely, really aromatic, clear fruit aromas and flavors. And so perhaps you'd want to do, you know, like a lovely fresh fruit tart, because you've got this beautiful fruit, really, you know, you're inhaling these lovely smells. So you want a dessert that's going to complement and match those kind of aromas. And
the typical, I think one of the typical pairings, not with dessert, but with dessert wine, would be if you actually like pâté of foie gras, they always try to pair that with sauterne, which is actually a really great pairing for that.
The sweetness with the fattiness of the... Okay.
Yeah, and the same with blue cheese. Blue cheese has been classically paired with a port.
Yeah,
because... one of the tricky things, and one of the sort of golden rules of food and wine pairing, is there are a couple of things you really don't want to do. And that is blue cheese. You really do not want to do that with a super dry wine, because it really will taste quite bad. It'll taste sort of metally because of the chemical reaction that's going on with all that acidity in your mouth. The other thing is fish. You really don't want to do that with a tannic wine, either red or white, because it will make, again, give you that metally strange taste, like sort of a couple of no-nos.
So let's go to the contrary. What wines would you not want to drink with anything? Like, are there wines where you say to yourself, you just want to drink them on their own, the beginning of an evening? You don't necessarily want to pair them with something, right? They just stand on their own. Are there certain vibrant whites where you just want a taster of a white, or champagne where you just want to have the champagne on its own? Like, is there a time where you feel maybe it makes sense for just have the wine on its own? What do you think?
I think that there are certain wines. I think all wine goes with food. I really believe that.
You just have to pick the right foods with whatever.
Right, and if you were serving like an amazing champagne in old vintage or burgundy in old vintage, typically I'd like to have a glass of that before I put any food in my mouth. Because
you just want to experience the wine as it is without any sort of other elements in your mouth.
And my eyes closed.
That's a great point.
Yes. I'd like my eyes to be closed so that I can actually sense and taste everything.
Yes. No, I agree.
Okay, but is there more to that? Are there wines where you can say...
I think we
have champagne often without anything else, right? Because you just want to experience champagne. And I mean, I guess you could do that with anything, but it seems like some wines, like a Bordeaux or a big, gnarly Napa Cab, you really want a piece of meat or fat that you can really, they'll play off of one another and it'd be even better experience. But what are your sort of thoughts?
No, I agree. And I think there are certain grape varieties, like Chardonnay, for example, because Chardonnay tends to be barrel-aged and often barrel-fermented, it actually can be quite a difficult grape to pair with food. Sometimes the fruit characteristic, as I said before, is quite delicate and the mouth feels good, but the oak aging can sometimes be a problem with fish, and it can
sometimes
be a problem
with
salmon, with
it
with tomatoes.
It brings out the fish flavor instead of, like, it enhances the fish flavor instead of dissipating the fish flavor.
And I think there are, I think that's right. And then I think there are other grape varieties on the other side of things that sometimes we overlook in food pairing that can be really like universal recipients. For example, Riesling. If you either a dry or a medium dry, off dry, or even a medium sweet Riesling can work with so many different foods, and particularly if it's got a little bit of age on it. They really can work with some weighty foods. They can work with all cheeses, which can be problematic food with wine, believe it or not, and can work with all different sauces. So I think there are just some grape varieties that are easier and not so easy to be really successful with food. And I completely agree with Lisa. I think there's some wine that you just want at least the first glass to stand on its own because it's just going to make a memory for life.
Mm-hmm. How are you going to know that, though? I mean, if you're not a big wine aficionado...
Ask your dad.
Or ask the person you bought the wine from.
Totally.
Right?
I would stay away from wine like Chardonnays that are in the super cheap shelf in a chain store that may have had too much malolactic fermentation in it. That's kind of like, it's an American marketed Chardonnay. It tastes like butter. Your wine shouldn't taste like butter. So you should taste the wine. I would say definitely have a glass while you're cooking whatever it is you're cooking and experiment a lot. But hopefully you have some stores up there that for under $15 a bottle, you're getting some really interesting wines to choose from because there's so much wine out there that's actually really good wine in that price range. But going back to the food thing, I think also it's playing around as a chef in your own kitchen and figuring out what works best.
I think the like for like is the big message, which we just started off at the beginning, right? If you've got a light food, you know, you're going to turn to a lighter red like Pinot Noir. If you've got a big, gnarly, piece of meat, you're going to want to match it with a big, heavier wine, whether it's a Shiraz, whether it's a Cabernet, Bordeaux, whatever it happens to be.
What's your feeling on alcohol percentage? If he was just going out and buying wine, do you stay away from a certain percentage of alcohol?
Well, I think if you go to these bigger wines, you end up with bigger alcohol, right? You're going to enter, 14, 14 and a half, something like that, as you get to bigger wines. And so there are pros and cons of that higher alcohol, which in general, if you want more of an elegant experience, right, with a lighter piece of meat or a lighter piece of fish, you're probably going to get lighter alcohol. As you go higher in sort of the weight of the food, you're going to have a higher percentage in terms of alcohol. Would you agree, Helen?
Yeah, I would. I mean, I think whenever there's a high presence of alcohol, sugar in the wine, tannin in the wine, it's going to have an effect on the food pairing that whatever's in the food is going to be highlighted. So I think just to keep that in mind.
Well, also I would say to your point, like if he wanted a big wine like Syrah as opposed to buying American Syrah, go to the Rhone Valley where he can get so many choices and beautiful wines that are not, they may be higher alcohol, but you're not necessarily tasting that they are.
Well, that's the great thing. You could get Syrah from Australia, from France, from the U.S., many different places, not just those three, and it's going to vary that experience. But you said something just a second ago about it's going to highlight certain things about the food. Well, what do you mean by that? What do you mean it's going to highlight certain qualities of the food? Like,
so, say you're having some triple cream cheese, and you choose to have with that maybe a big red wine. Well, the tannin in that wine is going to make the minerality in that cheese, which often with a triple cream, because there's such a high proponent of cream in it, is going to highlight the minerality and almost have like this sort of bitter taste. So that is not a great pairing. Whereas if you were to pair, for example, an off-dry Riesling that has a little sugar to it, the sugar in the Riesling is actually going to pair really well with the sugar that's in the triple cream, because there's lactose in the triple cream cheese, and those are actually going to just make a really nice taste sensation for you.
Okay. Well, I think we've come to the end of this podcast. It's still a little has to be experimented with, but I think in kind is the message, right? Try and match a wine with the same sort of level or intensity of the food you're pairing with it. Thank you, Helen.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mark. Lisa.
Thank you, Nick.
And until next time.